Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy any investment based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Hello and welcome to the Midweek Takeaway. Today we're joined by Colin Bird, Executive Chairman of Besant Resources. How are you doing today, Colin?
Doing fine, thank you. How are you?
I'm spot on, thanks. So it looks like you've set some pretty ambitious targets for the year ahead with a focus on the rapid development of the Truly Mine project. Do you want to talk us through the plans for Cyprus?
Yeah, you know, I guess we divided it in, from Besant's point of view, and it was a joint announcement. But from Besant's point of view, we're in the first joint venture, and you know the terms there. We've got to subscribe to the exploration. If we like what we see, we finance and assist to build a mine, and then we share the benefits with Carus. And you know, often when you go in joint venture, it can be the death of the thousand lashes, or it can certainly be every, you know, black hair goes grey in the process. But you know, we've not been together 5 minutes, you know, metaphorically speaking, but certainly not very long. And it's real. It's real. So real that we're not in the slightest worried about the way we mine, because you've got a pit. The pit's there, you know, the pit's in front of you. So you wouldn't go digging deeper in that pit, because obviously pits fall down if you make the sidewalls too steep. So what one has to do is what we call batter back. You know, you've got to push those sidewalls back to give a safe angle. And then there we've got some 70 meters, certainly of stockwork, and I'm not sure that thereafter are disseminated. So what a joy that is. Martin is pretty optimistic that not only can he deepen that existing pit, he can extend it, and that's good. And you know that we've got that probably 1.5-2 kilometers of strike which joins the other property. That's going to be tested whether or not that's lenses. I'm convinced there will be lenses there. But you know that if one wants to dream a little, and why shouldn't we? Why shouldn't we in a new year? There's a possibility that it's continuous. Now, so that's the deepening the open pit, which mechanically is easy to do. The design is easy. It's a smoothing job. It's civil engineering. It's muck shifting. Then you've got the oxide cap, which I say is the other side of the fault. There's a very distinct fault there. And that's large. The tonnage and overall grade and therefore ounces has got to be calculated. But do we put it into the plant? Do we treat it as a separate one? And the contribution will be tested, i.e. how much capital to do it as a standalone. What's the incremental capital if you've got to put a gold processing section in the main plant, et cetera, et cetera. I rather think that with today's technology, we'll probably be feeding it into the main plant and making a gold copper concentrate. What we're talking about there, gents, is 10 or 15 years ago that it'd be a real scratching exercise and there'd be a sacrifice. Because, you know, you can't have the squeal of the pig. You've got to make, you know, you're just not doable. But in this day and age, it is, there's so much work being done on reagents and on treating gold and copper and other metals together. But then we're talking about gold and copper here. Then in actual fact, we'll find an all-embracing plant to produce a very nice gold copper concentrate where one is not sacrificing gold value.
Yeah.
One is not sacrificing gold value. So really, you know, I'm not talking when we sit around the table with Martin and team, we're not talking about mining issues here. We're talking about the optimum processing route. We're working on samples as we sit, and I've been working on those samples in Australia and for the suitability to certain reagents. What does the concentrate look like? And you cannot actually do that. You can't be fair to the project unless you do find out that just how free the gold is in the oxides. But I've got a strong, strong suspicion and prefer one plant to fit the bill.
Yeah.
And big enough to satisfy the extensions if Martin finds them. And of course, it doesn't end with that. It, you know, we've talked about the oxides. We've talked about deepening the pit. And of course, there's that couple of million ton of rock, waste rock.
Yeah.
Waste being a redundant word, because you know we fiddle about with that. We can get 0.6s, ones, well, all sorts of percentages of copper there. And then there's the tailings. So if anything was ready-made, that's our first joint venture.
Yeah.
And I think, Phil, that, you know, there's going to be a template.
No, I was just going to say, so I read the RNS, and obviously there's been a few names mentioned. You've got, obviously, St. Nicholas, Panolefkar, Anglicides, you know, there's been a name of these other small, not smaller, but let's say they're satellite locations, projects that will effectively feed the, you know, high quality feedstock into the plant at Truly, which is presumably the plans is to have the design the plant around Truly. I mean, is there any other projects that you potentially could be working on as well together?
Oh, good Lord. Yeah. Well, you know that we've got an option. We've got an option on the portfolio. And there's one big project which has been worked. I think, you know, I ain't shooting off the top of my head, but I think there's been something like 14 small undergrounds. And there's been a real ragbag, you know, I'm sorry for the expression, but can't think of a better one. Ragbag open pit, where you've deposited there a combination of waste rock, remnant pillars, all sorts of things. And so you've got a mixture of pyrite, you've got sulfides, transition material oxides. And to me, what I see in front of me represents huge tonnage and the ability to put a central plant to treat it all, to separate it and treat it. But Martin has recruited around him quite some good capability, some very good capability on the exploration front. And it'd be wrong to jump in and say, let's design a plant and start working here, because I strongly suspect that the Carers team, Martin and co, will in actual fact find another primary sources which could be selectively mined either by open pit methods or by underground methods. So we're not going to jump in. We're going to actually model it, examine it, find out where the structures are running. And as I say, he's put a team around him who can do just that. Youngsters who's been around, anxious to please, anxious to find things, and have got the right credentials and credibilities to do it. Why didn't we go there first then, if it's so exciting, Phil? You might ask me that. Truly, you guys have been out there. Truly represents the opportunity, because it's so clearly defined, in as much as there was an open pit before. The dumps are there. The tailings are there. You've walked them, touched them and felt them. And when you went there drilling the oxides, you could see that, you know, you could actually see them panning gold in actual fact. I'm sure on your visit there that you pan gold. So you feel it, touch it, and it falls into place quite easily. But that doesn't negate the other place. All it means is there's a bit more work. So I think we'll have a template for design, a template for approach, and be able to bring that mine into production this time next year. We should be rattling the bells and starting the conveyors. And of course, from the Pezant, we've got the open Gorit mine down in Namibia. I'm off there this weekend. And that essentially is understood. It's had scoping studies. We've been revising all the scoping studies. We know where the ore body is. We're drilling for anomalies around it. Of course, we did some survey airborne geophysics and discovered anomalies, but we've got a mine. If we find nothing else, we've definitely got a mine. That's copper gold, quite nice values, about 1.9% with about 0.4 gold. So really good copper equivalent values. That's well understood and will be put together concurrently. And so that's nice, really. So from the Bezant point of view, we're looking at joint venture and a mine, which hopefully will be between 6,000 and 8,000 tons of copper per annum. We'll have our own mine, 6,000 to 8,000 tons of copper per annum. So what a joy that would be. Let's call it 15,000 tons. That's no mean performance. 15,000 tons of copper. Just for very simple figures, talk $10,000, you know, that's $150 million revenue. Start talking about a 40% margin, you know, and the figures are 50, 60 million. You know, this could, Bezant could be a serious company. And as I say, it's not the journey of the death of the thousand lashes. It really is imminent and ready, in as much as the ore bodies are there and been there for many years. And if you compare and contrast, you're talking about an open pit, what needs deepening and extending, and you're talking about an underground mine where the primary entries are just going to be, trucks. You're not sinking vertical shafts and all that clever stuff.
Haven't been a Truly here, Colin. It's maybe hard to explain to the investor just how simple a process Truly will be. It's it's one of those things that when we went, it was like, wow, there it is. And you just drive off the main road and There's a big open pit there. And yes, there's the potential to go 1.5 kilometers. And then there's a big gold cap. And yes, you can extend the depth and the width of this open pit. It's going to be simple to do. And also even the buildings are there for the plant. You know, there's already a brick building already there, which may well be able to hold the plant, may not. But, you know, it's been there because in 1974, they just walked away from it. You know, so it's very, very simple situation. And yet highly involved in terms of how much copper and gold is there. So it really is an amazing opportunity, I think, both for Byzant and Carus, and then hopefully for Jubilee as they come in and do the tailings and that type of stuff as well. So, yeah, amazing, I think.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, no matter how much you walk around that portfolio in what the Carus have built in Cyprus, it just, as you say, it stares you on the face. You get out the motor car and there's your mine to the left. Yeah. You're looking towards a pit to the left. There's your gold. There's your open pit bang in front of your eyes. There's that massive berm, which is the waste rock. And then to your left is the tailings. And then there's stacks of concrete on which to park a plant. You really don't need to be, you don't need to be the businessman of the year to see that one, do you?
No. Yeah, going further even to Calavasos, it's up in the mountains more so, but it's a similar situation really, isn't it? It's all set up, it's all there. There's underground mines, there's huge amounts of ore sitting in the open pit that's already there that can be widened, that can be looked at in which is the most beneficial way to do it. And also, obviously, there's the mines underground. And then you've got the massive tables of tailings as well, that at that stage, they just didn't bother with anything that wasn't high in copper.
They were actually shipping 2 and 3% material to Hungary, raw rock. If it didn't make it 2, 2.5, 3, I don't know what it was, what the figure was they shipped. It was waste. You know, it's black and white. They didn't really care. And that really is the opportunity now, you know. And it's in a lot of places in the world, Kevin, it's the opportunity. The definition of waste is a moving target. I mean, if you look 15 years ago, the average grade being worked around the world was 1.13%. The average grade now is 0.62, you know. So in 15 years, you halved your average fee put. So that is really is a moving target, is the classification of waste. So that makes the place so exciting. So exciting is that the amount of rock which is parked, mined and parked, classified as waste, which you know and I know, and Phil knows, it ain't waste. It's ready for processing. Once breaking up, sticking through a plant. And you know what? That's not too invasive, Kevin. We're not going to upset too many people by doing that. Nice operations, discreet operations, providing employment. I know it's... It fits my bill, and you know, I've made no secret of the day. I use the expression, and don't make apologies for it. The day of the small miner is back. The day of the small miner is back. I was preaching copper two or three years ago. Now I'm preaching that story. The day of the small miner is back.
And I think, actually, from an economic and environmental point of view, that truly will actually be cleaned up as a place rather than. Rather than caused any problems, I think all of those waste dumps and stuff are going to be being processed and then removed. So I think, if anything, for Cyprus as a whole, it's going to be a beneficial situation.
No longer something you might do to be nice. It's an obligation. Throughout my career, it's always been an obligation anyway. So, you know, but as you say, you could, by employing modern techniques, by anything you do, having triple membranes or double membranes of plastic down there to protect groundwater, to have better visual impact because you made things smooth and nice. And one controls the noise and the dust quite nicely because it controls itself. Again, if you remember how it all presents itself, the sequencing, if done properly, is very, 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 very low on interference.
There is a very good potential that you're going to be having revenues of 4 to 5 million per month.
That's a little bit optimistic. I think it's less than that, but more in the order of about 4 to 5 million, yeah. Between the two operations.
Between the two operations, yes, that's what I mean. And four million a month, yes.
Yeah, that's right. Which that's that order.
Around 40 to 50 million per annum, and that most of that is EBITDA, few costs, but not a great deal because you took 40%. So this is transformational, no? For Besant. I mean, Besant currently is valued at what?
Besant's, I think, eight million.
7.5 million. But, I mean. If you look at the facts, I think the intent is to develop. There was intent to develop a mine from the various feed sources that will sustain production of at least 7,000 tons per annum for a minimum of around 8 years.
That was the criteria Martin and myself set. Anything small, there's a kind of a disconnect between the capital you employ. So that was for us was thought to be optimum in terms of not wanting to build a big company, but wanting to build much of the same several times. And, you know, when one concentrates on Besant, you've got 27.5% stake in that Philippines project. Assuming we get the MPSA, that will be monetized in Australia, and we can follow our 27.5% position. Don't forget, you know, that that porphyry down in the Philippines, Mankayan, is good for 1.4 million tons of copper and 4.75 million ounces of gold, and is drilled out.
Yeah,
we should never underestimate that. And the reason that Besant isn't running alone is the fact that, you know, there was difficult times in the Philippines. And also one needs the experience of working in that part of the world, which wasn't in our stable. During this process, this transitional process, the Philippines now, and only announced a couple of weeks ago, I think, that they welcome open pit mining as well now. And they're doing everything they can to encourage foreign investment into mining natural resource industry. So nice place to be. Argentina one day we'll be able to get at it, you know, COVID-19 being the problem, but again, we've got the red beds there. And so all in all, and the manganese, one shouldn't forget the manganese in Botswana. Manganese is beginning to feature as a battery metal, and we're talking about 55%, 54% material. So the manganese potential is good. So when you look at that as a company, boy, it's got a lot of assets. But we're talking about a joint venture in an emerging mine, which is not too far away from kicking up. We're talking its own mine down in Namibia. And we're talking about a 27.5% stake in a big porphyry, all for £8 million.
The share price is on offer today. It's only 7.5 million pounds at the moment.
7.5 million pounds, Lord. Yeah.
So if we take a mine length of 8 years to be on the safe side, look at a, you know, price to earnings ratio of maybe four, just to be very, very conservative. And we talk about 40 million revenue or EBITDA that's coming in. You're looking at potentially Besant being a 160 million pound company. Let's be conservative and say 2 years from now. So this is 20 times its current value.
Well, that's what we small miners are about, isn't it? You don't, you know, it's not Marks and Spencer's where you might go up a bit. You know, you're going to get a divvy of 3%, 5%. So you sit worrying about it, what's your divvy going to be? You don't worry about it being taken over because, you know, that's unlikely to happen. You sit worried about, is it going to get into the internet? You know, Marks and Spark, for example, is it going to get into the internet space, or are other people going to be there? Are they going to have to buy into the internet space in order to online market it? So this is different. And, you know, you don't sell mining companies on a 30% premium to share price. They get their own legs. And in my career, they've got a remarkable way of finding their own legs very, very quickly. And I have to say my theory of in this business, and it's evident by my actions and current activities, you have got to have quite a few balls in there. And inevitably, you put a lot of faith in one and another one comes down from left side right in your lap and there's your 10 banger. And that's why, to be fair to your shareholders, you've got to give them opportunity and options. And if there's one thing I can't stand, Kevin, or get very nervy of, and don't invest in on a personal basis, is I try to avoid single project companies. The shareholders need the diversification, portfolio diversification. And that's what we got through the group. Got a theme. Yeah. We've got a theme, copper, gold, but diversification and optionality. And that's what makes business work.
Colin Bird, Executive Chairman of Besant Resources, thanks very much for your time.
Thank you very much, gentlemen. Thank you.
This podcast was brought to you by Roast PR Limited. If you would like to appear on a future episode of The Sunday Roast, please email admin@thesundayroast.net.